Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Don't worry, man. It's all good.
Hey, partner. I forgot all about it, man. Fucking, how are you? What's going on?
We do it every week on the same damn time, the same bat channel.
Dude, I wish that I had more. I wish I had more power in this fucking life that I could help you and Don. I mean, you don't need my help. But Don is.
Bro, I need your help, dog. Like, you're helping. You don't even know how you're helping, but you're helping.
But Don would be the greatest. Like, I mean, he's basically like an Archie Bunker, modern day. You know, he'd be the perfect, like character. And I mean, he's basically like Eastbound and Down, but like older version of that guy 30 years later. I mean, he has no idea how to communicate with people, but he has, at the same time, he has every idea. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know anybody like him. He's, everything he says is a fucking zinger. And he's so funny when he's not trying to be funny. And he's the manliest man, and he can back it all up, you know. It's like, there's nobody like him. He's basically like the uncle that I wish I had. Like, you know, I never had, you know, like he's, and he's got the biggest heart. Even when he offends people, which he does, you know, on the regular, he'll call me up like, hey, you have that guy's number that'll be out on the pile. I feel bad because I told him he wasn't really black, and I like, or just something of like, you have that girl's number that, you know, I didn't mean to tell her that she could sit on my face, you know, like, and no, you know, he's just the most loving fucking guy. It's so real, you know.
I mean, yes, I know. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I don't know what you're trying to get at, though. What do you want to do? Start a retirement home for us ex-pro fighters?
No, well, him, I feel like he should have his own talk show where it's just like the Don Minute. You know, I don't think people could handle him, though. Like, I mean, it'd have to be on like not even like Fox News times 100, you know, but
yeah. Super Fox News.
Yeah. But then again, like, he's not, to me, he's not a. He's not a bigot, or he's not a racist. But I could see how people would think that. But he's not. He's just old school. You know, he's just how it used to be, kind of. You know, but I don't even know what I'm saying, dude.
So you're saying you want to make Don Fry great again? Is that what I'm getting?
He's already great. I think he's underappreciated. You know.
I agree. Yeah, you know what? He's an unsung hero of the old school. I appreciate that.
Yeah, 100. Meanwhile, I had to get my bunny. So we have six bunnies in this house because me and my dog.
Bro, what are you doing, kid? Are you serious right now? You need your Uncle Mace to come euthanize fucking four bunnies?
No, but what happened was, me and my daughter, we were at the park, and this little bunny was following us around, so I scooped it up. Obviously, it wasn't a wild bunny. It looked like one of those magic bunnies, like white with like black, you know, spots around, whatever. And he ended up, I like took it in. And then, of course, everyone's like, oh, you can't just have one bunny. It's going to get depressed. And my wife builds a whole fucking chicken coop. She buys it, gets it like delivered here. And then now we have, and then people are just dropping off their bunnies. Hey, my bunnies are getting bullied. And can you have them? And, you know, we get one on these mailing lists of like, they found 700 bunnies in West Covina, and they're all getting euthanized. Now we have six. But the problem is that one of them's not fixed. So he's just torturing the rest of them. He's fucking them all. You know, it's like he's just trying to rape them all, you know, and
he's like just banging some like stitched up vaginas. Like, that's what's going on.
The other ones are
velveteen rabbit. Bro, what is going on with you, bro? The Adam Hunter Rescue Bunny Club?
Like, we were gonna call
you it. You got some weird ass problems, dog. I thought I had some weird ass problems, bro. Living in the barrio, you got some weird ass problems.
Dude, like, we were gonna call it like Save Your Buns or like the Bunny Rescue. We had a bunch of names of like, you know, like Grab My Buns or whatever it is. So, but anyway, so what ended up happening now is I had to get a fix today, but because it's an exotic animal in California, it's like $800 to fix a bunny. Yeah, because it's not a regular pet. It's an
bro. And no, you pay me $400, I'll take care of that bunny problem.
And this one has a large testicle, right? So one of the testicles is like five times the size of the other testicle. They won't do it.
You have a bunny with acromegaly balls. You know what I mean? Like I said, the weirdest problems, bro. What is going on with your life? Where that's your problem is a oversized bunny testicle?
Dude, and then I was telling you, I got off a cruise ship and these one girl came up to me after my show and she was a black woman that was and she was like, you ever want to put some marshmallows in some hot cocoa? And I was like, oh, you know, like I'm married, you know. And then her friend goes, I heard white dick looks like skinless chicken. And I was like, well, it's healthy, you know. And then another one was like, you know, oh, you're not ready for this. So I just was like, I removed myself from the situation, which was
what? Oh my God, you're a stronger man than me, bro. I might have jumped into that pudding pop. Oh my goodness, I would have like been munching on Little Debbie's. Wait, how many black women accosted you?
There were four. There were four this
time. What? Oh my God. And just by the law of averages, one of them was pretty hot. You are a strong man. You are a man. You know what? Your wife, oh man, your wife, you know, she needs to, I don't know. You should tell her that story and get a little.
No, the problem is I tell these stories to my wife or similar stories. And she's like, damn right. You know, I would leave you in a heartbeat or it comes to like, do you know how many guys I could get? Or it just gets to that.
She ain't wrong, but at the same time, like women don't understand it because they have the female brain, okay? And I'm going to get into a little touchy area here, and it's mostly dudes who watch this show, I know. But I think that women, if they had a dick and balls for just a weekend, they would completely have empathy because it is so hard to turn down pussy. It's so hard, bro, because your penis just wants to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Even if the women are linebackers, you're like, okay, I'm into it. So I'm great. Assuming some of those women look like linebackers, huh?
Good. I've looked at my penis and I've been like, this is what you get too excited? Really? Like, I'm like, really, bro? Like this? But and also there's like a power in numbers thing, dude. It's just, it's just, my wife's like, I could upstairs at work probably listening to this on her Zoom meeting. But yeah, dude, it's a power in numbers where it's like one girl, it's hard. Two girls, you start getting three or four. It's just like, that's every guy's fantasy. I don't know why they gave it that the fantasy of multiple chicks. I don't know anybody.
What do you mean? That's just a natural thing. Like you ever seen bonobos in the wild? Oh my God, a freaking orgy over there all the time. Oh hey, perfect timing there, Don. You just jumped right in. Meanwhile, Adam just got off a cruise where he turned down a massive orgy with four black chicks. Can you believe this guy? And his wife didn't give him the respect that he deserved for turning down a chocolate orgy.
Dude, she was, yeah.
She's probably gonna kick his ass anyways. just for being offered it. Not your fucking fault, but you're guilty.
100%. Dude, I knew a comedian, Gary Owen, used to be like, okay, I'm done cheating with white girls. Like he would stop cheating with certain races. He would only cheat with certain races. He's like, I'm still cheating with black girls. Or somebody said it's not cheating if it's a different race. But see, that's the thing, dude. If anyone could ever invent a way where you could do like things that you want,
I'm sure my ex-wife subscribes to that.
Anyone
I'm sure she does. It's not cheating. I think it's not cheating if it was the different dick is what it is, you know?
What? I don't understand, but I think we'll leave that there.
No, I think yeah. Mayhem.
She just doesn't see it. She didn't see it as cheating. Nothing she did was ever wrong, you know, or cheating or anything like that.
But Jason, how did you ever like do things and then not feel guilty afterwards? Like, did you like when you were when you had a relationship where you guys were like open, right? You were like swingers, or
yeah, kinda, yeah. Like I was in that young guy thing where I lived like the Andrew Tate lifestyle for a while, like where it's not cheating if I'm banging chicks, but it's cheating if you're banging dudes. So yeah, I don't know. That was a very selfish way to live. And I don't know. I don't think that really fosters a good relationship as so much as Don, where are you going, bud? He's going away from the Wi-Fi to hear about this story.
Dude, welcome to my
world. Oh, bro, this podcast is really, you know what I mean? I came to a studio, a real studio, and like I'm being very professional for once. And of course, Don Fry is the exact opposite end of the spectrum now.
This is the greatest mayhem that I've ever encountered, because there was a time where you'd come late and all of a sudden I would hear Mayhem Miller Industries over the fucking thing. And I'm like, it was kind of like the back in the wrestling, the NWO days, where they would have just like a regular match and then you'd hear NWO and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash would just walk in and throw everyone out. Not even the guys they didn't like. They'd throw out all four people of the ring and just take the mic and cut a promo.
I'm into it. Yeah, no, now I'm about sharing the spotlight and bringing my friends all the way up. Yeah, well, I went through an era where it was all me all the time. I was very selfish. I was very selfish. Now I realize you need
When did that era stop? Miller, when did that stop?
Yeah. Well, now I feel like I'm trying to bring the whole team up. You know what I mean? I really appreciate you guys being a big part of that, because yeah, this show has given me like kind of a footing to get used to talking about fights. And you know what the hell is that, bro? Is that another bunny?
No, this is the dog we got this dog.
What are you doing, bro? That is adorable. I really
she's the sweetest, but
this is a dog. Oh, my son, my dog. See, that's a dog.
It looks just like Don.
Queenie. That's my boy. That's my girl. That's the love of my life, boy. My girl, Queenie.
She is a beauty. She is a beauty.
Then I got another one. I just inherited another one about 3 months ago, and she's still breaking in. She still likes, she hasn't figured out this housebreaking phenomenon yet. You know, she's still pissing and shitting in the house.
Well, all right. A couple things we got to talk about. Shannon Rich. We all know Shannon Rich. You know Shannon Rich?
Yeah. Yeah, I love Shannon.
Shannon, you know, he's a fan, a friend. I've known him forever, you know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of his fights were a little bit, he kind of combined pro wrestling with fighting. Where
didn't bother him at all, did it?
He lost 18 fights in a row by standing guillotine.
I remember that. I was counting them off.
All in the first round. Well, he killed someone over the weekend. I mean, literally killed someone.
Take notes, Mayhem. Take notes, buddy.
So
you're falling behind. We'd all put money on it. You'd have been you know, doing the killer.
So I guess he went to Twin Peaks to watch a fight, and he was fighting over with somebody over a parking space, and the guy started chasing him around with a knife. So he pulled out his gun and shot the guy, and the guy died.
Good. Fuck around, you find out, man. Fuck around, find out.
He explained.
Dude, how's the guy gonna try to stab a dude named the Cannon?
Right. Because there's stupid people out there. There's stupid fucking people out there.
He he told the cop about what happened, and the cop let him off. The cop let him off, I guess.
Welcome to Arizona. Yeah. Yeah, baby.
At the same time, I was watching a documentary on Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, who I guess a similar situation happened. He got into a fight with a bouncer. He killed the guy. It fucked him up for life. It fucked him up like the rest of his life.
Yeah, he was a mess. I worked with him over in Japan for a few months. Yeah, he was a fucking mess.
What was that like, Don?
He's a fucking mess. It's like Mayhem Miller on steroids, you know, times 10, you know.
Damn. So, yeah. I mean, Shannon Rich, I mean, do you think this is going to – Jason, you probably met a lot of guys that have killed people. How much did it fuck people up?
I mean, you know, taking a life is a very serious business, and that's on your conscience forever. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it depends on his outlook of things, you know. I don't know. To be honest, every man is different. I've met you know, you're asking the wrong guy, because I've met very callous motherfuckers who killed people and do not care. So I've seen that side of society. But, you know, any, like, well-adjusted human being, and I don't know Shannon very well, but, yeah, it's going to weigh on him. You know,
Shannon worked a few tours for Blackwater over, you know, in the Middle East. So he's whacked people before.
Mm. So he just notched to his belt right there. That's a shame, yeah. But, you know, I think it's, yeah, what Don says, right, fuck around and find out. That is a thing, you know. And here in America, can't be like bringing a knife to a gunfight. Everybody got around here.
You got to think over a parking spot. I mean, the whole thing over a parking spot.
People are fucking stupid, man. People are fucking stupid. And then they get high or they get drunk and they lose what little fucking mentality they have.
Yeah, know? But that's a big part of why I quit drinking, because damn, I was always getting whatever would happen, I would get into trouble about it, you know, and it was a small thing would turn into a real big thing, because you got like myopia when you're drinking. Like, whatever is right in front of you is the most important thing in the world when you don't look at the larger, you know, consequences of your action. And that's a damn shame that happened. But, we live in America. We live in a society in which, dude, you can pull your pistol out and defend yourself, you know, if somebody
else. It should be that way, though. It should be that way, you know? And let me tell you something. We're not the only society on the fucking planet with guns. No matter what these liberal fucking retards say, everybody has guns.
Mayhem, you don't understand when he says this. Under each pillowcase, he has like 30. He has like under each pillowcase. And
Wait, is he ready for the Chinese invasion? Is that what's going
yeah.
on?
Yeah, you're like, damn right. I'm prepared.
Why are you always ready at all times, bro?
I'm prepared. Because the government's not ready. They're the ones that are in on it. Letting these fuckers over here. This fucking giant Joe Biden is a pedophile, you know, and he's letting all these fucking child molesters and murderers come across the border. He's, you know, he's into human trafficking. He's in charge of this shit. He's running this fucking human trafficking, sex trafficking over globally, you know.
I think you're giving, look, I'm not a Joe Biden fan, but I think you're giving him a lot of credit. I think there are a lot of people involved in the sex trafficking. It's not just Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah, because he's a fucking idiot. He doesn't know how to fucking, you know, close the door. You know, that's how fucking dumb this guy is. And, you know, the people around him are running the show. They're just using his name, you know, to stamp and get it going.
Now, are you following this Ariel Helwani Bisbing beef? Mayhem?
No, I didn't know nothing about it. Educated.
I didn't know.
All right. So, so we all know what happened with Conor McGregor, and McGregor pulled out of
the fight. Conor McGregor. Yeah. We don't know anything.
All right.
Well, he's out of the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. We all know he's out of the fight. So last week, Ariel kept tweeting before he officially pulled out, something's going on, not looking good. UFC, we're looking for a replacement. He kept putting us out there. I'm sure Dana and them were not fucking happy because that's kind of, remember what happened last time with that, why Ariel got banned because he broke the Brock Lesnar story. And it was like, anyway, because like, you know, the UFC wants to be the first people to announce that kind of shit. So Bisping kind of, you know, works for the UFC. But Bisping on his podcast was like, Ariel, you know, I don't know why you got to be this investigative journalist. You got to do all this stuff. And I got to take, look, as much as I like Bisping better than Ariel Helwani, because I'm friends with Bisping. I'm not really friends with Ariel Helwani. I saw Ariel about 2 years ago, and I told him, actually, I brought you up, Mayhem, at the awards. I go, hey, by the way, Mayhem's doing great. He's fucking doing this and that. I talked to him all day. And Ariel was like, oh, man, thanks for letting me know. That's actually really cool to hear. So we talked about you. But anyway, so Bisping went off on Ariel. Like, but, you know, just saying, what are you doing? Like, so Ariel, in classic Ariel 4 fashion, really went after Bisping. Like, you fucking bootlicker. You're, you know, what, you want to keep your slap job? You don't want Uncle Dana? And that's where I think he was in the wrong. Where I think Bisping described Ariel's job, which is to be a journalist and say, don't be a journalist. Bisping is wrong. Ariel took it to, like, called him a bootlicker fucking 10 times, right? And then Bisping responded.
You know what? If I was Ariel Helwani, I'd be careful. You know, who the fuck I was calling a bootlicker, you know? Because Bisping may not be looking down that right, the proper eye one day and fucking knock him on his ass.
So then Bisping responded with like, hey, Ariel, I was just taking the piss out of you. Fucking relax. It's a joke. Ariel doubled down. All right. And said, well, keep my name out of your mouth. Fucking talk about yourself. And was like, you are a fucking bootlicker. And then called him like three more names. So initially, I think Ariel was in the right. But like you said, Don, I mean, I know that like Bisping's not going to beat up Ariel Helwani because he would look like the biggest pussy in the fucking world if he did it. He could probably have his daughter fucking beat up Ariel Helwani. But you got to be careful. Like, it's one of those things where like, sometimes you're in the wrong initially, but then the person like triples down on it. Mayhem,
yeah, your right.
Mayhem, your thoughts.
Well,
fuck around, find out.
Bootlicker is like a, you know, it's kind of a hard, that's like the hard R of journalists, you know what I mean? Like for him to say that to him. Because, yeah, Bisping is a company man and he, you know, he owes everything to the UFC. So he's got to defend that side of things, obviously. And he that's his, you know, that his loyalty is to the UFC. So obviously he's going to do it. But also, I think Bisping's wrong because what the hell? Like, Ariel Helwani, that's his whole shtick, is being. Man, what? Dude, we are in America for real, bro. This is America for real. But yeah, so, you know, Ariel Helwani's job is to get to the bottom of the news as quick as possible, and that's what he does. So why are we surprised that the Ariel Helwani is Ariel Helwani-ing?
Right.
This guy is like suiting up for Call of Duty right now.
This is the greatest podcast ever. That honestly, fuck everybody. I mean, come on. Where else are you going to get the Don Fry Gun Show, fucking Mayhem Miller, giving his insight, which is better than anyone's insight. When Mayhem is on, when he's not on stuff, okay, so but he when he's on by being not on.
What is that?
There is nobody better. There's nobody better. There's nobody better and more insightful and right.
Hey, you're fucking insulting me. I'm sitting right here.
Yeah.
And you're trashing me.
I know,
me.
But the problem, the only with the issue with you, Don, is that you don't actually watch any of the fights. So we do a fight podcast. And then I have to explain to you what happened in the fight. And a lot of times, like, I'm just doing it off my memory or, like, what I think happened. So I'm not even giving a great analysis.
Let me explain to you. Two guys come out, or two women, they come out, punch, kick, choke. Okay, is a fight.
But, like,
thank
but
you.
But can you imagine, like, where, like, two guys come out to, like, talk about a game, but one guy didn't watch the game. And, like, they're, like, so they, like, they have to explain what happened in the game. And then, so that's sort of, like, but there's nobody that, I can't get anyone to replace Don Fry because I was telling you before. First of all, Don, I have to tell him when the podcast is. And then I have to call him before the podcast. Otherwise, he comes on 3 hours late because I could see it says Don Fry just joined the meeting. And then it's, like, like, and then he goes, oh, shit, partner. Was that today? And then I have to fucking, yeah. So anyway, so that's kind of what happened. Over the weekend, did you guys watch, Don, did you watch the Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva boxing match?
No, I didn't know anything about it. How was it?
Look.
It was the most tremendous pillow fight of all time. These guys, I spar my 145 pounders harder than they fought. You know, like it was not really a fight, but I'm just glad that Chael like tricked the Brazilian fans once again to give him money. Yeah, it was hilarious. It was not a fight.
It was a 5-round exhibition, right? And it didn't stream in the U.S. And I was wondering why. And I think they might have said like you can't stream fights like this, like WWE, like it only streamed in Brazil. Someone just had to stream somehow and put it up.
Were they non-sanctioned? Is that why you can't?
It was completely non-sanctioned because it wasn't a real fight. They had an agreement, I think, like, hey, let's just play around. Like, what do you think happened? Like, how did that discussion go, Mayhem?
That was a gentleman's agreement right there. They're like, hey, look, we're both still really popular. So let's
We're really old. And let's not fucking hurt each other or take the chance of hurting each other.
I mean, Chael's nose started bleeding, but I think that was from his entrance. I think he breathed too hard. Once he took his glasses off, his nose started bleeding. So, it had some kind of blood in it, but it was mostly just like a patty cake, and good for them, you know. I'm glad that they made some money, and I'm glad that they had a nice – it was nice to see them, but it was really
– Don, are you making out your will right now?
No, I'm trying to figure out what all this shit is.
He's doing his task right now in the middle of the podcast. Not only – he cleaned his shotgun, then did his taxes. And then gave insightful analysis on a fight he didn't watch.
Dude, Chael said the day before, Chael goes, I'm in the ring. Where is everybody? So he was obvious, like the day before. He kept tweeting, how come no one's here? And people are like, the fight's tomorrow. Like he was just not taking this fucking serious at all.
Needed to be for that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, like people, I was laughing my ass off, but it wasn't a comedy, but it was. I laugh more at that fight than I have 99% of the comedy specials that I watched this year of comedians. Like that fight made me laugh so fucking hard, and then she came in with like the Rocky robe with the entrance and this and that. Anyway, so
what were you in Rocky robe? Was it the beef plant or something like that?
Dude, then Chael, he called out Masvidal. He probably outweighs Masvidal by 100 pounds. And then he goes on SportsCenter the next day or on the Chael show, and says that Conor McGregor is in rehab. He said that's why
might not be wrong, you know, like We all seen I know I'm a drug expert and I know the telltale signs of some cocaine and it, you know, maybe that's true, maybe not. I don't want to disparage the great Conor McGregor, but yeah, he's definitely been on a wild one for a while.
But then it got on TMZ where he said he's not in rehab. So I don't know why.
Let's take an addict's word for it. You know, yeah, I believe him.
So I got to say, I didn't think they were going to fight. We talked about this, Don. We're like, who are they going to replace the fight with, right? We're like, they have nobody. But you know what? The UFC, they replaced it with Alex Pereira versus Yuri. And then also Diego Lopez and Brian Ortega. And people were not upset about it. People were like, you know what? Alex Pereira has become like the new, especially that last fight where he told the ref to get out of the way. Remember? The ref with the low blow, and then he knocked out Jamal Hill, and he's becoming this new thing. And then they got this guy. It's a rematch. I don't know if you watched it. This guy, Jiri, I don't know how to say his last name, but he basically comes from the woods, this guy. He's literally chopping wood all day. When they announce his fights, he just screams.
So he's like he's like that kid from Arkansas, but the Russian version, huh?
1,000%. Like when he announces parades, you see him screaming war or like, and then running through a mountaintop. I don't think he has any Wi-Fi, this guy. No one knows where he trains. No one knows how he got so good. He's like a fucking Viking. And I would say he was born in the wrong century, kind of like you, Don, but then maybe not, or even you, Mayhem, because then everyone would be just like you. So I think you're born in the right century because you guys stick out. Imagine a whole colonization of Don Fries. So that's the main event. All right. By the way, I forgot to tell you guys, we have a guest. Nick Piccinini, by the way, who is a young fighter. This kid, I met him in Texas. Mayhem, he's a 5-time state champion out of New York. Five times a champion, right, Nick?
Four time state champ, 5-time county champ.
5-time county champ out of New York, undefeated in MMA. But what's your record?
6-0 right now.
6-0. This guy was a legend in New York. Like I mean, and I'm 46. This kid's probably what, 26, 25?
27, yeah.
27. But I heard of him. That's how good he was. Because to win it 4 times, become a state champion, it's almost unheard of. The kid won as a freshman.
Those wins, bro. Are you ground and pounding guys or what's going on? How do you win?
Submission. 5 submissions.
Nice.
Six wins, 5 submissions.
By the way, you're here with Mayhem Miller and Don Fry, Nick.
Are you fighting in the men's division or in the trans division?
Fighting in the men's division. And Don, you want to know something? I'm an Oklahoma State alumni.
Uh-oh.
Go Pokes.
What weight were you?
125.
What weight were you?
125.
Wow, that's tough weight class.
Three-time All-American for the Cowboys.
Yo, what's up, people? I got to talk to you about Game Time, okay? GameTime.co, all right? I'm telling you, I'm excited for the NBA playoffs. It's been the best season of basketball I can recall in a long time. Super pumped about it. And Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier, which is great. I mean, who would want to go to a playoff game? Now, prices on Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets tip-off. I mean, normally you would think it would go up. Nope, going down. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Trust me, you don't want to go there and all of a sudden you're behind. You can't see anything. That would suck. All right? Check out the Game Time app. I know there's a great bunch of NBA games coming up right now tonight. It's the Knicks. The Knicks are playing the Sixers, and the Knicks got this. Okay, and I would love to go to that game. Okay, I would. That would be amazing. I'm from New York, so obviously I got to go for the Knicks and the Lakers and pretty much whoever else is winning. All right, and I'm telling you, they got last minute deals. They got flash deals, zone deals, easy to find. You could buy MLB tickets and for every kind of event in your area. They got views from all seats in the venue, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection. If you get fired, you can't make it, something happens. All right. Now, you could save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. All right. I know you guys love the theater, especially this audience, Broadway. You guys love Shakespeare. I'm sure we got some very Shakespeare people. All right. Now, and they also have in-app deals. They got zone deals, save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. You got all-in pricing. This feature shows the total up front. No surprise. That's the worst when you go to other things and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is a great deal. And you get there and it costs you an arm and a leg. So take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Now download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's great. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today, all right? Check it out. I'm telling you, this is it. This is what you want to do. Do it now, all right? And I'll also enjoy the rest of this podcast.
Good job, boy. Good job.
So where did you play? What number did you place?
I took fifth, fourth, and honorable mention. I guess.
Right, right, right.
So some people, there's a lot of controversy about my third All-American. And so basically it was during COVID, right? I was the number three seed going into NCAAs. And they canceled it, you know? So then they came out with the honorable mention All-American. So there's some speculation, there's some stipulation behind it. For the resume sake and I'm accounted, but
that's not your like, fault. I mean, you had nothing.
It's not my fault.
I mean, give me a break. So did you ever lose in high school?
No. Yes, I lost. I lost my 7th and 8th grade year. I only lost 3 times. I lost twice my 7th grade year, once my 8th grade year, and then I went undefeated from 9th grade to 12th.
And then you wrestled for John Smith.
And then I wrestled for John Smith. Yep.
What was that recruited. Like?
It was sick. Sick. It was dope. John's the man. He's a cowboy, you know? So he came to recruit me. He came to my house. He flew in from Stillwater, Oklahoma. And we don't have cowboys in New York, you know? So this dude walks up with, you know, boots and a cowboy hat. And, man, John Smith, I'm like, look at this guy. This guy is the man. He's a real man, you know, cowboy. He's a cowboy. I was like, obviously, he's a beast, you know? World champ, Olympic champ. Several times. And I'm like, this is a bad dude. Like, I want to wrestle for this guy. You know, everything he stands for, I'm about
America. And you have a win over Spencer Lee.
Yeah. Yep. Spencer Lee is a world champ. He's an Olympian. He's our Olympic team member right now. He's our Olympic guy.
You know, so Mayhem, you have this kid, right? So let's say this kid comes into your gym because Mayhem's a coach. What do we do with this kid?
Well, I mean, first of all, we don't throw away wrestling, and it sounds like he's got some jiu-jitsu down. But like, I'm interested to see like how are you putting together your striking. Like that's my question, because you know a lot of guys start throwing away their wrestling in favor of striking as they climb the ranks. Like, what are you doing to connect your striking to your wrestling and vice versa?
Yeah, so I just fought a five. I had a main event fight. It was a 5-round fight. Last Sunday. I just fought Sunday. Oh, wow. And I stood for 2 rounds, and then because it was you know 5-rounder, I drew it out. Just to feel the striking. He was a striker, so I wanted to get experience on the feet and feel what it felt like to stand, you know, for 2 rounds. And you know, I did pretty decent. He caught me with a good shot. And then once that happened, I just go back to my wrestling, and I use my hands to, right, get him to react, and then level change into the shot. So use my hands to set up to my shots, use the cage, all that. So piecing together just my hands, level changes, my shots, and using the cage. Yeah.
What's crazy about him also is that they're putting him slow in. Like, they're not – like, you would think a guy like him would have so much hype behind him. They throw him right to the UFC, his third fight, or like Bellator, his fourth fight. But they're kind of they're taking you slow, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I have a lot of good people around me. You know, Kyle Kretschmer. Yeah. He's a brother to me, you know? So he mentors me, tells me, you know, this is what you should be doing. Obviously, my management team, DC, all them, my coaches now, mm-hmm. Coach Safe, everyone around me, they're really smart, right? And they're not money hungry, so they're not pushing me to go to get the check to you know anything like that. So they're saying you might as well take your time, get the experience, right? Get in a couple battles while you're at the local scene before you jump up into the big show, because that's when it gets the most real, and there's no turning back then. So I have a lot of good people around me. I'm blessed in that way.
Don, you ever meet a guy that was a 4-time state champion that never lost in high school?
No, never have, man. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah. No, it's my pleasure to meet you. You're a legend. Freaking legend. Thanks,
yeah, did you go back to OSU at all after you graduated, Don?
I didn't graduate.
What'd you go to school for, Don? If you don't mind me asking, do you remember?
For a long time.
He went to school.
Oh, that's great.
So Nick was his record in college was 112-17, which is fucking insane. I'm gonna hype you up. In high school, he was born in he's from Long Island. He won state title every year of high school, making him four time at 106, 113, 120, 126. He took second in the nationals, graduated with a record in high school of 226-3. After graduation, he went to OSU. After compiling a 16-4 in open, during his freshman season. So did you wrestle as a true freshman?
Or did you wrestle? That was my redshirt year. So that was just my redshirt year. Yep.
And then he plays fourth as a sophomore. He claimed his second Big Ten. Two wins. You were pinned by Spencer Lee. Now, how did you take that?
Yeah, it was the quarterfinals of NCAAs. And this dude's so freaking strong, man. It's like, now that I'm out of wrestling, like, I don't mind saying it, but the dude is a freak as far as strength goes. Like, I feel like I'm really strong. I have teammates like Dayton Fix who are really strong. Even the one of the coaches that's there now, Thomas Gilman, he's super strong. But this dude, he's like, there's something, I don't know if he's on something or something inside of him. He's strong as shit, man. It's fucking crazy. So Mayhem,
he's the guy he was a three-time national champion, and he lost his senior year in the semis. Huge upset. I mean, huge. And then he didn't come out the next match because he was injured. So people were really mad at him. But now he just qualified for the Olympics. Right? I mean, am I saying it right?
Yeah. He's our Olympic.
Now, your other teammate, Dayton Fix, by the way, this guy, Jason, four-time runner-up.
Yeah.
How does that guy – what's he like?
Yeah, Dayton is the man. Dayton is very soft-spoken dude, right? He's a very soft-spoken dude, but that dude is a workhorse. Right, he's born in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. So he's, you know, Oklahoma kid. He's just hard nosed, just grinder. He's a man. He's a good dude. But soft spoken, humble cat. But yeah, man, it's the way the cards fell.
Yeah, and then as a junior, you were 31-0 going into nationals, and then you lost to Cornell to Vito. Then you got the win. So then you're second All American. Senior year, you were 26-2. Holy shit, man. I mean, it's how close were you to making the Olympics?
No, I never. I went straight into fighting. I went straight into fighting because my whole plan was COVID. COVID threw a wrench in everything, right? Yeah. So like COVID expedited all the plans that I thought that I was going to have. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go my senior year, wrestle, win a national title, go to the U.S. Open, hopefully win the U.S. Open, get qualified for the Olympic team trials, then try to qualify for the Olympics, you know, in 2020. But COVID happened, so nothing was going down. NCAAs gets canceled. I'm getting calls about, do you want to coach? Do you want to coach for Oklahoma State? Do you want to coach over here? Do you want to wrestle? Do you want to fight? And I'm just like, it's all coming at me really, really fast. And I had to make a decision. And obviously, like, I wanted to fight since I was little. I was watching, you know, like, Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell, you know, fighting as a kid.
Did you watch Bully Beatdown or no?
I watched Bully Beatdown. Yeah. Hell yeah. I watched Mayhem. Yeah. Hell yeah. I watched Mayhem. I probably watched Don too. And hell yeah. So fighting has always kind of been in my like presence, and you know, it goes even deeper than that. But at that time I was like, you know, what do I want to do? Do I want to be a coach? Do you want to continue to wrestle, or do you want to fight and try to pursue something different? And I'm like, fighting's the way.
Make some money, yeah.
Yeah.
Get more money in the fight game. Yeah.
Can anybody hang with you on the wrestling mat when in your on your team?
As far as like MMA?
Yeah.
there's only one dude, and there's only one dude. His name is Jack Mueller, but he's an NCAA wrestler too. That's the only guy. But
any advice for this kid, Jason?
No, I mean, I'm just more interested, like, to see, because I want to see what you, like, how is the striking coming along? Because it's a really big part of the game. It's, you know, where are you boxing? And are you in Massapequa?
No, I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm in a gym called Fortis MMA under a coach, Saif Saud.
Oh, wow. How'd you find those guys? Like, and how did they recruit you or something? Or I don't get it.
So I started out at AKA American Kickboxing Academy.
Yeah.
So that's where I started out. I started out at AKA. My buddy Kyle, he was out there. I wanted to fight. DC got Kyle out there. Kyle hit me up, asked me if I was interested in fighting. If you're interested in fighting, you should come to AKA out with me. So I'm like, hell yeah. I go out there with him. And so I was at AKA for 2 years, and it kind of started to fall apart a little bit. And we kind of got a little stagnant.
Funny how that happens, ain't it?
Yeah. Shit just happens.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, their family. So we have another, my other teammate, my other brother, Jacoby Smith, who we all live together. He's got a family in Oklahoma. Kyle's family's in Oklahoma and Texas, or had family in Oklahoma, has family in Texas. And they're like, yo, like, we can go anywhere. We can either stay here, or we can go to any gym. We can go to Florida. So we were just putting feelers out, and Fortis MMA popped up, and it was just the right coach. Coach Saif was the man. The location, it's closer to the East Coast. I'm from New York, so I get to go closer east. Their families here. It was kind of all like it was a team decision, and we just weighed everything out. Like, what are the benefits? Like, you know, do we have partners? Do we have good coaches? Do we have this? Do we have that? Is it closer to our families? So we just all kind of like put that all into the mix, and we made a decision. And you know,
Coach Saif, in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, now I live in Dallas, Texas. Yeah.
So what do fights for you look like? Like, what, like, are you signed to an organization right now? Are you going to have, you know, because you want to, this is the key moment right now for you to direct your career. Because it seems like in the next 4 years, you can make a tremendous amount of money with your wrestling accolades and with the right, you know, the right science behind your career. Sure. You know, you map these things out. What's going on with you?
Yeah. So right now I signed a 4-fight contract for Fury FC. And I just got done with my third fight. I'm about to go on to my fourth fight. And after this fight, I believe it'll either be Contender Series or the UFC. So
I see. Yeah, are you still in that weight class, or are you going up?
125. Yeah.
How's the cut? Is it something simple or no problem?
Been doing it my whole life. I wrestled at 125 in college for 5 years. Honestly, since my senior year of college, I haven't grown. I haven't got bigger. So my cut, and I have it down to a science. You know, like, if you're a wrestler or a fighter, the more times you do it, the more times you get it down to a science, and it's just it's so easy.
Dick, I'm trying to find your fights. I can't find them online.
They're on UFC Fight Pass.
I don't have UFC Fight Pass. I used to have it.
It was my law firm that I borrowed from someone else.
I used to have it. Okay, because I'm trying to find, so that way Mayhem could see some of your stuff.
He didn't tell me you're gonna be on, bro.
Half the time our guests never actually show up anyway. By the way, he came to my show with his girlfriend, who's smoking hot, by the way.
No, not me. Oh. That's Kyle.
You were the guy that was a virgin. I made fun of you for being a virgin.
Yeah.
Dude, I talk so much shit to this guy.
Not true, Adam.
Not true. Sorry about that.
We're really interested in what you're
doing. Are you coming back?
Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely be back. I fucking love it there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here you are, man. Now, was it hard for a kid from Long Island to fit in with the Oklahoma people?
Yeah, at first I was like, this is different shit. But when you're around that culture, you know, I'm from Long Island. Like, there, it's not the same as Oklahoma, like, at all. Like, no place in Oklahoma is like New York. Like,
yeah,
you know, so you gotta. But the culture there is so strong. It's like I jumped in it, you know. I started to get a twang in my, like, you know, I started talking differently. Because all my teammates, my roommates, they all talk with twang and they say funny shit. So I'm like, yo, that's funny. I want to start saying that shit. And I love
it. I mean, just I watched a couple of your highlights. You got the arm triangle, everyone.
Wow. Yeah, I have four – arm triangle submissions and three arm triangle submissions and two rear naked submissions.
Yeah, no one's getting out of that. I mean, you just know the pressure, right? You know exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone kind of makes the same mistake. They put their arm above their head, so I just snatch it up.
Fuck, dude. And then here's you wrestling.
Yeah, this is pretty thick, actually. This move. Whoop.
Oh, let's wow. Go.
Called a Russian snap. Yeah. Yes. Like, have you ever seen Islam? Like, Islam Makhachev, he hits this. It's called a Russian snap. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Lung him down to the ground. Yeah, but that's pretty there.
Yeah.
That's a tough, I don't think people really realize how tough that is to do, you know?
Yo, no, it's tough. It's like you really never really hit that too much, you know?
Yeah. Well, so what else are you developing? Because, you know, what are you focusing on in your training camps right now?
Honestly, I focus a lot on my striking. I want to get better at striking. Obviously, because I think, you know, that's being a wrestler. That's what I've wrestled my whole life, and that's going to come natural to me, the wrestling. And the striking is, like, you know, it's just a little bit different. So just becoming more confident in my hands. You know, and I think I'm starting to do that more and more. But now I'm getting a little bit smarter. You know, I don't necessarily need to use my hands so much. I can piece together my wrestling and striking. But it's right now. It's just all.
Oh, wow! Look at this. Whoa! Look at this, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the other day, and it didn't work out for me, huh?
That's a double over. I was in double overs, and he just kept on pushing in. That was like the only 5-point throw I ever had.
Nice.
Wow. Now, when I was in college, the wrestlers got no chicks. We had no groupies. We were D3, you know, Binghamton. Wow. He took him right to his back. Did OSU have hot girls or what? You guys
get OSU hit. Oklahoma State had some smoking chicks, man.
But did they like the wrestlers or no?
Yeah, they liked the wrestlers, but the team that liked the wrestlers the most was the wrestlers and the equestrian chicks. We always like would link up. Like, they always fucked with the wrestlers and we always fucked with them. Like, we messed around with the equestrian chicks. Yeah, this was my first state title ever. This is when I was a kid. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's called the Oklahoma, right? Basically.
This is a pancake, I guess.
Yeah. Damn, you got a state title on that? That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So where can I buy some, is there any place I can get some Nick Piccioni stuff?
Piccinini.
Piccinini, even better?
Piccioni. That's some Italian shit too, though. I have a clothing company that sponsors me called Nearfall. I don't know if you've ever seen it. They're pretty big in the wrestling world. I don't know. But I'm going to try to talk to them and see if they can drop like a shirt or two. But because everyone's been asking me that.
Yeah, I want to, you know, I want to be able to represent. So
Yeah, for sure.
You wear your shit on stage and fucking five people will see it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Wait, so you don't have anything with your name on it? Nothing I can smell.
I do. I have, but it's not up for they only I dropped a shirt once, but they only left it up there for like a limited time. It's like a little limited time offer type thing. But I'm going to go ahead and talk to them and hopefully they can drop another shirt.
And then where can people find you?
Find me on Instagram at NikkiPitch96. They can find me on Twitter at NikkiPitch96, TikTok at Nick Piccinini. Facebook.
Well, dude, I'm a big fan, man, and I can't wait to see your journey. I think we got a future champion here, man. What do you think?
I'm into it. He's already got the accolades from wrestling. I want to see you really convert into fighting, man. I'm very excited to watch your career. I really appreciate you coming on the show because, man, it's nice to catch you right now. And when we can't catch you later because our bootleg ass show is bootleg fuck.
Nah, you guys are dope, man. I'll always come back on the show. You ain't gotta ever have to work.
Hey, Rod, got something? Is it booked for Fury yet? Is it coming up or?
I just fought 3 days ago.
That's right.
But there might be another thing in the books. Very very soon. I can't speak too much on it right now because there's not too much behind it. But we'll see. It could be very soon, though. So
we'll be looking out for it, bro. We can't wait for the next one, bro.
You guys are the man. It was nice talking to you, Jason and Don. You guys are the shit. Adam, obviously.
Nice talking to you, brother.
God bless. Nice talking to you. Thank you, guys. God bless. Yes.
Take care.
Go Cowboys.
Wow, yeah. That guy's a stud, huh?
Yeah, he's a beast.
He'll be a champ.
Yeah,
he'll be a champ. He knows how to work hard. He knows how to fucking work hard, man. You know, and he knows how to set goals and achieve the goals. You know, and that's what a bunch of people miss. And then once you achieve that goal, you got to set another goal. That's where I always fucked up. I would set one goal and then reach it and then just coast on that. You know, so
yeah, but you were also a 2-time UFC champion, Don. I mean, but you were a 2-time UFC champion, Don. That's, I mean, how many people can say that?
Not many. I think, there's me and Hoyce and Dan Severn, multiple time tournament winners,
Now, there was a debate on the Underground. Yeah. Who would have won, Mark Kerr or Hoyce Gracie? In UFC 1, who do you think would have won, Mark Kerr or Hoyce Gracie?
Oh, where the fuck does this come from? UFC 1.
There's a debate on who would have won in that fight.
Stupid. That's a fucking stupid-ass debate. Don't they have anything better to debate than something that's fucking dumb?
Well, who would have won?
Well, it depends on which Mark Kerr showed up, Was it the steroid freak who's a killer? Or is it the fucking goofball who fucking, was just a shadow of a fucking goof?
I'm pretty sure they meant the steroid freak. Mayhem, one. Jason.
Baby, Hoyce Gracie with the pajama pants. I don't. Yeah, that's one of those silly ass. I love those hypotheticals. I don't know. The rules were, no time limit? Yeah. I don't know, man. Eventually he gets gassed and Hoyce drags him to deep water. Makes him wonder who he is.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you, though, I met Mark Kerr a couple years ago, and it was, beyond sad, out of shape. You would never know that it was... I was like, man, this is because I just saw off the Smashing Machine to Mark Kerr. And then I saw him last year. He came to my show. He's in great shape. He's healthy. Looks like he's sober. He's got a new girlfriend that is like a fitness model. And he really cleaned it up. So
good job. Good.
Yeah. Good. Really happy for him because before I was like, he looks great. He looks like he looks in shape. Good. Which is pretty awesome.
You get the right shit and she'll fucking help you out. You get the wrong and she'll destroy you,
Yeah. Man, that's an accurate assessment, bud. They couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing how that fucking happens,
So over the weekend, Tim Johnson fought in the PFL. Tim Johnson's a buddy of mine. He was in the Army. He was an Uber driver. He was in the UFC. He was a strip club bouncer while he was in the UFC. And then he lost a bunch of fights in Bellator. He was doing transporting cattle. What's that called? Livestock. He was, you know.
Yeah, livestock.
And
yeah.
They called him to fight in the PFL on a week notice, and he knocked the guy out. It was actually one of the craziest punches because the guy kicked him in the balls as he landed a punch. And then he didn't know the guy fell down. Let me see if I can find it. So they had to restart it. And he came back and won. So he could win $1 million in this PFL tournament. And I really hope he does because, you know, those are my favorite stories. So shout out to Tim Johnson for winning that fight. Because he also got kicked in, like, the liver within 5 seconds. And I'm looking up Tim Johnson, and people's dicks are just fucking coming up. So.
Well, that'll make you happy.
That's just your algorithm, bro. That's just your
algorithm. Yeah, probably. All right. So here we go. So here's what happened. Let me see if you ever seen this before. So here we go.
Same team.
Here we go.
Hello.
Oh my God.
And a cup check and Danilo Marquez.
So right here.
Hello.
Yeah, bro. If he could have just like turtled his balls off his stomach. And he could have finished that fight. So, you know what I'm saying?
And a cup check and Danilo Marquez.
Wow. This guy is raising his hand like he just.
He doesn't realize how huge he is. Marquez has no idea that it was a cup check.
Take your time.
Marquez, take your time.
Fuck him.
A hard cup check.
I love that the ref was caressing his belly. You know what I mean? Gentle.
I never could figure out
his belly to get him back.
Never could figure out how people get kicked in the nuts and they're like, I'm okay. Let's just keep fighting. You know, it's like, no, I'm going to take 20 fucking minutes.
Don, you got your eyes poked out. I think by the same guy.
They're different than nuts. They're different than getting kicked in the nuts, man. Shit.
Do you remember that fight, Mayhem, Gilbert, Idol? Yeah. He
poked him in the eye. Yeah, I remember that.
We just poke him. You had to like
seven or eight. And fucking poked out. He's digging. He's reaching in there, digging around.
Yeah. So that was crazy. And then there was another fight. This is how stupid the PFL. Like, so basically, the guy could have made the tournament if he would have got the finish in the second round. But if it goes to the third round, he doesn't make the tournament. And there was another fighter, Tyron Fortune, where he got the stoppage. Well, he thought he got the stoppage, but the time ran out. Ding, ding, ding. So he started celebrating. He thought he made the $1 million, but he didn't. He had another round. And he won the round, but still is not making the tournament because he didn't finish him in the first.
You got to finish in the first round in advance or what?
Well, what happens is, like, if there's, like, five guys that are tied or two guys that are tied, they both win, they get, like, 4 points, like, 6 points for a finish, 5 by points, or 4 by whatever. So if two guys finish, get the finish, they go in who finished earlier. So wow. you have to beat the time.
That's what fighting is, to do a bunch of math and, like, figure out points like I'm watching European football.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they got to figure out a better way because some guys also you just can't stop. I mean, there are certain guys out there that just that, you know. By the way, so one of those guys is Mike Perry, so the Mike Tyson fight got postponed against Jake Paul because Tyson had something happened to him on an airplane. So now Mike Perry is boxing Jake Paul. Like next month. Hopefully Mike Perry wins. I know they sparred before. Allegedly, Jake Paul won. But if it was bare knuckle boxing, I think Mike Perry wins. But in regular boxing.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, guys, let me call you back.
He's taking Uber Eats right now.
I know.
Getting delivery right now.
He's got bullets. Getting bullets delivered.
throw on the internet.
So, I don't know. So who do you think wins in this boxing match?
Buddy, I don't know. I don't think that Jake Paul has got to where he is without picking smart fights. So he probably knows a thing or two about Mike Perry from that sparring match. And, you know, I would like to see Perry pull it out, but Jake Paul more likely will jab him, for 8 rounds and then, you know, throw some crazy punches in the 9th and 10th and then, you know, coast to a victory. I thought, you know, but I'm with everyone else hoping that the bad guy loses, but yeah. Bad guy going to lose.
So this week, UFC, Robert Whittaker is fighting Ikram Alaskara. Supposed to be, I think.
Oh, Don Fry and not even pretend to know who Ikram Asher.
It's on ABC Saturday, live from Saudi Arabia, the Kingdom Arena. I'm pretty sure that has something to do with, it was supposed to be, I think, Chimaev, but Chimaev got hurt. This guy's 15-1, dangerous fight. Robert Whittaker is coming off a big win. He looked good in his last fight. He beat Paulo Costa. He lost.
By the mustacheless beard, that this guy is kind of a grappler. So, and Whittaker, I don't know, his grappling isn't very smooth. So
he was an Olympian though. For Australia, for wrestling.
Oh, I'm stupid. But his jiu-jitsu, I mean. Because every time he gets on his back, he looks like a turtle. He looks very, you know what I mean? It's like weird. Guy who wrestled his whole damn life. I guess that's not weird. You know?
I also feel like any All-American could be an Olympian from Australia.
You might be right. I smirch the good wrestlers of Australia, but the high level wrestling is over here.
And then Pavlovich versus Volkov. I thought these were the same guys. Pavlovich lost to Tom Aspinall. That was a good fight. He actually hurt him. And then Volkov's been around forever. He's a guy with a huge tattoo on his back. He beat Ty Tavosa by Ezekiel. He beat Romanov. He beat Rosenstreich. He lost to Aspinall by armlock. This should be a good fight. Heavyweight fight. They're both very similar. Kelvin Gastelum taking on D-Rod. D-Rod said he was 450-0 in jail fights. Is that possible, Jason?
No. I mean, that's hilarious. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, getting, like, usually jail fights are like 5-on-1. Like, that's normally how jail fights go. So maybe he's counting each of those as a victory. I don't know. Yeah.
He's 200-0 in street fights and jail fights.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. That's that's
more reasonable.
And then Johnny Walker against Ozdemir. Johnny Walker is one of those guys. Remember, he's the guy that won and he celebrated by breakdancing and then tore his shoulder. He's pretty funny. He got knocked out by Ankalaev his last fight. He beat Anthony Smith. He beat Paul Craig. He lost to Jamal Hill by knockout. His hands are down, but he's got insane power. Oldemir looks like he's going in slow motion, but somehow it works for him. He's one of those guys like Sam Alvey who were like
power, no speed. Yeah, I know that kind of guy.
Power, no speed, but awkwardness plays to his strength.
Yeah.
Jared Gordon's a guy he's fighting. He's a guy that died like 5 times by overdosing. He was hooked on heroin, cocaine, all kinds of stuff. Got off it, went to jail for a seizure. They put him on some kind of drugs that he was like not supposed to take because he was an addict. And then he got basically re-addicted from the hospital. Great guy, really good guy. He also was the guy that beat Paddy Pimblett, but they gave it to Paddy Pimblett. He lost to Bobby Green by he beat Mark Madsen, who was an Olympian from Denmark, who was like a Greco-Roman wrestler. He knocked him out. He's fighting this guy Nasrat. That should be a good fight. Who looks just like Kelvin Gastelum, like an in shape Kelvin Gastelum. So, and then Nicholas Dalby's on the card. He had severe depression, but got over it, and he's won his last four to five fights.
You know what I love about you, Adam, is that you know everybody's American Idol sad story. You know, it's like you should like make packages for the UFC where you're like, and this guy was addicted to drugs and died five times with the like Sarah McLachlan music in the background.
Like, he has three wins over heroin, and he's undefeated. He's got six losses to depression.
Undefeated by overdoses. Fuck.
Yeah, but this is actually a good card. I feel like when they go to Saudi Arabia, a lot of the money I feel like comes from Saudi Arabia. So they put on really good cards over there. Remember that fight they had with Matt Hughes and Renzo Gracie? That was like so bad that like Dana like went in there, was like, you guys better knock it the fuck off like during the fight.
Dana went on somebody's yacht and let him shit on his chest?
No. But he threatened them during the fight. Like he was like, if you guys don't knock the fighters? Yeah.
You're like, take you to a public square and hang you unless you win this fight?
I think he was worried that they were going to hang the whole organization.
like disappear him, like chop him up at the embassy? Oh, jeez.
Dude, Saudi Arabia, that place, have you ever been there?
No. I'm afraid to go there the way I act. I might get hacked up, you know what I'm saying?
Bro, so the women don't have to wear those things anymore. What are they, burkas?
Listen here, man. I think that should be mandatory here in America.
So they don't have to wear that anymore. And dude, you some of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life.
Go through 16 generations of only seeing their eyes, and then some kind of genetic defect happens where they become beautiful. When it says you cover up your face all the time.
Dude, and my friend, this guy who's over there, who I think you know, he was like Tito Ortiz's bodyguard over there. A white guy, nice guy, all tatted up. He trained for a while. He was telling me that like he banged like 11 girls in the ass from over there, like in like a year, because they don't consider
the status. Yeah. You go to Utah and the chicks will like be, no, put it in my butt. But what?
Yeah, that's like first base over there. No. Like, first base is anal.
And what a base it is. Hitting home runs all the way around, baby.
Oh, my God. All right, man, what do you have coming up?
Bro, I'm trying to start my own podcast. So, you know, I'm like never coming on this one again.
Oh, come on. We need.
I wouldn't be the first guest, probably. Like, what the hell? what do I have coming up? But everything. Like, I'm just, like, constantly working and constantly coaching guys. You know, private lessons, people reaching out and getting private lessons from me. And things are going good, man. Things are going good.
Good. I'm on Gutfeld again this week. So that's good. And then I'm in Vegas. I'm in Vegas next week. I'm at the Strat UFC Fight Week. I'd invite you, but I don't know if you're allowed out of the state.
Allegedly, no.
But listen,
no, I'm out of the state here. But you have to give me a contract and give me money, and then I can go.
Oh, perfect. We can do that.
I'll be there. There, I'll body like Tito Ortiz, friend.
Well, you're the best. Thank you to Nick. Thank you to Don. Take care and have a good week, Jason.
Roasted.